everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. We welcome you to the Friday edition, January 4th, 2019, of the Buckmaster Show as we round out anniversary week here. It was eight full years ago this week that we launched the program, so we are in to year number nine here on the Buckmaster Show. You can find us every weekday, Monday through Friday, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk voice. Quick shout out to media partners, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith is the editor and publisher. He's with me in studio. He'll be joining in the questioning today. Dylan, thanks for your support over the eight full years for the program.
That's, you know, wonderful. Thank you for your continuing service to this community, for having, you know, ever so many important people, members of the community, politicians, officials on to, you know, ask them questions and just help people know what's going on in this town. I think it's very, very important.
Thank you, Dylan. Also, thank you, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Tucson Media Group, and their portfolio of Tucson-based publications includes the Tucson Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Also with me in studio today is Mr. Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, the Southern Arizona's largest newspaper. Tim, how are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty distracted, but are you going to zone in right now?
You zone in right now because our Friday Focus interview is up to the plate. The new president of the Arizona Senate, Senator Karen Fan, Republican from Prescott. Senator Fan is the second and will be the second woman to preside over the state Senate in Arizona. She has represented Legislative District Number 1 in the Senate since January of 2017 after serving 6 years in the House of Representatives. She's a small business owner and a licensed contractor. She joins us now on the live line from Phoenix. Senator Fan, how are you?
I am good. Thank you, Bill, for having me on your show.
Well, it's a delight to have you, and we want to talk about some of the big issues obviously facing this legislative session, which will begin in about a week or so. I see you have said, along with Rusty Bowers over on the House side, that the big issue, as far as both of you are concerned, is making pay raises for prison guards and the Department of Public Safety troopers a top priority. Is that true?
That is correct, yes.
And why is that, Senator Fan?
Actually, Bill, they have not had a raise in, don't quote me exactly, but it was something like 8 years, plus or minus. And these are tough jobs. I mean, as you see what's going out on our roads and the police shootings and the and things going on in our prisons, they are so underpaid right now with what is the normal for public safety officers. So we, now that things are going good and we've got some money back in the bank account, we need to get these guys caught up to something that is fair and equitable, particularly for the risk that they take in their jobs.
Is there any money for the other remainder of the state's 32,000 employees?
That is yet to be seen, because we made a big promise to our Red for Ed folks with that 20%. We know that the extra $900 million we have right now, which is never extra when you still owe on your buildings, but we know that that is because we have a good economy. So our number one goal is to make sure that we fulfill our commitments and those promises we made, and then figure out what is left over that we can try and put back into some of the other things that need attention as well.
Senator Fan, here is Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan?
Thank you very much for coming on and taking our questions. I appreciate it. I know you guys are getting busy with, especially with the budget issues, and that's what I want to ask you about, is the process. Last year, I asked your predecessor about this. So often, the budget is worked out behind closed doors, negotiations with the governor and lobbyists and trying to whip up enough votes, and not really done publicly in committees where the citizens of Arizona can really know what's going on and you know, have legislators explain their decisions and what their priorities are as they go. Will you handle things differently this time, unlike has been done in so many years past, and put the budget through more public committee hearings?
Thank you, Dylan. I am going to try everything I possibly can. From the day that I went down there 8 years ago, one of my biggest concerns was it was being done in the middle of the night when people are tired, exhausted, nobody's paying attention. Now, you know, the explanation I got back then was, well, when you're dealing with 90 people plus a governor and you're trying to put something together within a three-month period of time, and then you try and go on the floor with this, and then the normal politics come in, it just makes it impossible. And I said, okay, I understand. You know, if we're ever going to get a budget done, we definitely have to move forward. But there's got to be a compromise there to be able to keep moving forward, but help the normal citizens and our voters understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, yes, the answer is I'm going to try my best to try and open that up a little bit more.
Here's Tim Steller from the Arizona Daily Star, Senator.
Hello, Senator Fan. How are you?
I'm good, Tim. How are you?
Very good, very good. Hey, I wanted to ask you about water. It's obviously one of the big issues. You didn't list it as your top priority. How about the drought contingency plan approval? When does that get started, and how likely is it to occur, considering all the different interests involved?
Good question, Tim. Thank you. So I expect the DCP plan to go to get dropped like the first week, and them wanting to push that forward. And it would not even surprise me when that bill gets dropped that they may even ask for a special session to get that done and get it immediately processed before the whole thing blows up again. As you know, we tried something last year and it just didn't work, so we've been working on this all summer with all the stakeholders. I think that we are 90-95% there. There are still some concerns with some of the Pima agricultural people and, of course, the HBACA, the Home Builders Associations. I think they're still making a little noise to make sure they have enough there, but I think we're 90% there, so if we can just tweak or iron out those last details, we'll be good. This is a very tough thing. What you didn't know is that I've been working on water issues up here in the Prescott Active Management year for 30 years as a multi-year mayor and vice mayor of two communities up here. So I have worked on water for a long time, and I totally understand how delicate this is. So I think we're going to get it done, and we just need to be positive and help these last couple of hurdles to get over.
I've written recently about a related issue, groundwater, but it's, of course, not related to the drought contingency plan, which is about the Colorado River water. And you just mentioned the active management areas. As you know, outside the active management areas, groundwater pumping is pretty much uncontrolled. And in certain areas, such as the Wilcox Basin and Mojave County, there appears to be a rapid drawdown of aquifers. Are you thinking of doing anything about this? Is there any will in the legislature to look into this at all?
Tim, I read your article, and it was excellent.
Oh, thanks.
Glad you brought that up. So, yes, we're going to be looking at that because we have, you know, obviously we've always had problems down there with the Santa Cruz River down there in the Sierra Vista area. And you're right, Mojave County and Wilcox are seeing some huge hits right now as also. So, yes, we need to look at those areas. We need to figure out, is it just that basin and just that small aquifer area that's being hit, or is it everything in a larger? If you look at the Prescott area where we have the big Chino Aquifer north of us that has a ton of water in it versus the little Chino Aquifer that has very little, you know, we have the ability to transport water from the big to the little at some point. It's not going to be cheap. So I need to look at those over in the Sierra Vista areas, Cochise area, as well as Mojave and Wilcox to see if that is a possibility and what's in those surrounding areas.
We're speaking with Senator Karen Fan. She is the incoming Senate President of the Arizona Legislature. What about the marquee issue last year, which was education? Is it backburnered now, or is there just an assumption that the raise that has been promised to teachers, I think this is the 5% year, is that something that's being taken for granted? Where does education play, Senator Fan, in this session?
It is certainly not being taken for granted by any of us at the Capitol, I can tell you, because that is front and center along with that water issue. We made promises. We need to keep those promises. So we need to make sure that we not only have the funding now, but we're going to have that funding 5, 10, 20 years from now, because remember, we put that money in the base, which means it's guaranteed and it's subject to inflation. So that number is just going to get bigger. So that is number one big issue, is making sure we fulfill those promises. The second thing that still needs to be addressed is, in conjunction with that, is how do we pay for that in the long-term funding? Do we extend the 301 monies again? Do we need to figure out what is the sustainable monies that will pay for that, that cannot be swept and cannot be diverted. The next step on that is still those site room funds, the classroom funds that would support all the other stuff in the classrooms and the support services. That still needs to be addressed a little bit more. We did a little bit for that, but we need to put more in there as well. So, no, this is still front and center.
Here's Dylan Smith again.
As a proud Prescott Badger, I have to bring up this topic. I realize it's the other chamber of the legislature, but one of the legislators from your district, Representative David Stringer, has said some astoundingly racist things. How can he adequately represent the constituents that you also try to represent?
You know, constituents are funny people sometimes, aren't they? So, you know, we have left that out there and said, you know what, if you voters are not happy with any job that we are doing for whatever reason, you certainly have the right and the responsibility to do a recall or you know, get them out. So if that's what they want to do, they need to do that. It's difficult. It is, for me, it's extremely difficult because he is representing the same district I do. For what it's worth, I called for his resignation early on, you know, 6 weeks ago, whenever the second incident. We had an incident last spring, and it, you know, everybody thought that maybe he had learned a lesson that, you know, even if something might be true, you don't necessarily have to say it out loud. But it looks like he didn't learn his lesson and feels, and some of his supporters say, well, you know, he made comments that you know, we think that might be true. And I said, you know, what is truth is in the eyes of the beholders, number one. And number two, it depends on the concept. Just because somebody is heavyweight, that's overweight, you don't announce that they're overweight. That's just insensitive, and it's not appropriate. So while as an individual person, anybody has the right to say anything under the First Amendment, but when you're elected official, you are held to a higher standard. And you just don't make comments that can any way be construed as inappropriate or racist.
Tim Stellar.
So, Senator Fenn, correct me if I'm hearing you wrong, but what I seem to hear you saying is that when he was talking about essentially brown-skinned people not fitting into society and society needing more white people, that he was wrong mostly in saying things out loud that you shouldn't say out loud, or was he wrong in the substance?
Well, first of all, he's wrong in not saying it out loud. And when you talk about the substance, this is a very difficult. So if he was trying to say, and I'm not going to second guess everything, but if he was trying to say that anyone that is not white Caucasian will never look white Caucasian, then that is a true statement, right? If you're not white, you'll never be white. But to say that they will never assimilate is absolutely stupid and ridiculous, because we are a melting pot of people from all over the world, from all religions and colors and size and shapes and everything. And so we better be assimilating, because these are our neighbors and our brethren. And so that's where the statement was stupid, is they better be assimilating, and they are assimilating, and so his comment, I'm not assimilating, is not correct.
All right, let's see if I can work in one quick call, and I know, Senator Fenn, you need to get back to an event you are attending in Phoenix. Matt, I have like about a minute to go, so please make your question very quick, please.
Thank you. Senator Fenn, the DSEG case in Tucson with TUSD, led the legislature last year to change the way DSEG is handled in the state regarding monies appropriated. And it attempted to basically punish Pima County residents who reside in TUSD, who pay property taxes. That affects both, you know, nobody in Pima County at TUSD has any control over the DSEG case. The legislature should take their concerns to a federal judge regarding that matter, not the people who pay taxes in the state. Is the legislature going to consider because there's a court case now going, that case could take years, but that's going to affect TUSD. But more importantly, property tax owners cannot absorb the costs that the legislature is responsible for.
Okay. Senator Fan, quickly, please.
Yes, thank you. Actually, I don't have an answer for that one because that conversation has not come up yet. However, I'm sure it will as we start working with the budget in the next couple of weeks, and we can try and figure out what we need to do and how we need to do it.
Can I ask one quick question about the budget and the rainy day fund? What does the budget picture look like, please?
Well, right now we're about, give or take, we're about $900 million above what was forecasted. So we do have some options there about what do we do with that money. Do we raise the salaries of DPS and corrections? Do we pay off the debt we still owe on our buildings? We still have that stupid rollover thing that we did, that gimmick we did with the education funds. We could certainly use some of those monies and get rid of that rollover thing and put things back where they should be so we are paying for the things in the year we're in. And then, obviously, there's a lot of us talking about putting some of it in building up that rainy day fund. We have $400 million plus or minus in that fund right now, which is not enough. It really should be double that amount at least. So there's some conversation about putting some of that money in rainy day so that when the economy starts to go down, and remember those promises we made, we want to make sure that money is in the savings account to pay for our promises.
All right, Senator Karen Fan of Prescott, the Senate President, will look forward to speaking with you as we get into the session. Thank you very much.
You bet. And thanks, everybody, for having me, and Happy New Year to everybody.
Same to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back with our Friday roundtable right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We thank Senator Fan, the new Senate president, for spending a few minutes with us. Want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. Tim Steller is here and Dylan Smith, both fans of the work that Steve, the chief baker, does up at Mona's.
The work, the art.
Thank you. Thanks. Steve will love that. No, it is an art. I mean, creating that kind of like the Danish, the beautiful Danish kringles and, and all of those great pastries. And that is, it's a culinary art doing that kind of bakery goods. Tim, a Danish kringle would sound pretty good to you
wouldn't it? It's perfect this time of year with a little tea or coffee in the morning.
That's it.
Yep. Just lay it out
for
everybody. Chill
in the air.
Yep.
And if you're in the area right now, up at northeast corner Swan and Sunrise, how about stopping by for lunch and have a sandwich? The breads, oh my goodness, so good. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's and a link to all of our great sponsors, partners, folks who have been with us, some of them legacy sponsors since day one of the program, which was 8 years ago. So we thank everybody for being involved. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. Tim Steller is here, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Dylan Smith, editor-publisher of the Tucson Sentinel. The Sentinel had an interesting fundraising in December. I contributed and a lot of other Tucsonans. How, when the numbers came in, how did it look?
Really, really, really good. Thank you so much to everybody out there in Tucson and Southern Arizona for supporting us through Newsmatch in November and December. Every contribution up to $1,000 we got from every individual was matched by a coalition of national foundations, and it was really big for us. We hit our mark, and maybe even a little bit beyond. We still got a few checks that were mailed to us on New Year's Eve coming in that we need to run to the bank. And we're very, very grateful for all the support we've had for the past almost 9 years now.
Yeah, you got about a year on me here. You're nine, we're eight, we're now into our ninth, you're into your 10th. Thanks. Tim, how was your holiday? This is our first visit with you, really. We didn't get a chance to visit at all over the holidays. You had a breaking story on the Friday you were to be here. That was that tragic incident.
When the deputy marshal was shot.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, that was the first time, let me see if I've got this right, that we've lost a deputy marshal in this town since 1952, I believe.
Yeah, it's been decades. And, it was an awful situation, really.
What was the perpetrator was upset about something about his gun being
taken? Well, the perpetrator had been, he happened to be somebody who I had done a little reporting on with respect to people who've been the subject of the Tucson Police Department mental health team. That is, the mental health team's been going out on mental health calls. And so they had done that with this perpetrator, Ryan, I think it was Ryan Schlesinger. In the end, they finally got he had harassed them, stalked them for seizing guns from him. And they finally got an arrest warrant after he had stalked at least one officer in TPD. And that's what the marshals were doing when they arrived there that day. They were serving the arrest warrant. The TPD had talked to the marshals about them doing it instead of TPD, thinking that maybe that would be a little less confrontational, but didn't happen.
So it was certainly someone very familiar to law enforcement, unfortunately, right? Tim, you wrote about the city election system saying it's unfair, and Dylan... The court. This has gone to the courts,
and over and over again,
over and over again. And the courts have said basically, you can continue with what you're doing now. And what continuing is, it's basically in Tucson, the voters choose their city council candidates in partisan primary elections. Each ward with the primary, and then it goes to the general election. And there's a group that's trying to stop this, and they launched a petition drive. Tucson Republicans John and Ann Holton, who are going to be our guests next week. So, Dylan, they're collecting signatures to try to get this ward-only elections on the city ballot.
Go ahead, Tim.
I mean, you
just wrote about this.
Yeah, it's been done many times before, been challenged most recently in federal court where it was found constitutional. I should mention, I don't think you've finished the description. Just for those who don't know, we choose the candidates ward in the primary.
Right.
But the part I don't think you said is that everybody in the city votes on all the different city council wards in the general election. So the argument has been, and it is my argument also, that that's unfair to small political groups such as Republicans in Tucson, who actually would have probably a pretty consistent one or two seats on the council if the system didn't work as it does.
Why do we do it that way?
Well, the defenders say it balances the parochial interests of the ward with the citywide perspective that council members have to have, so that they're not just looking out for their little piece of the city.
Our columnist Blake Morlock has written pretty extensively about this over the years, and his take, and I somewhat concur with it, is that if we went to a ward-only system where we had each ward nominate in the primaries and then separately vote on who they were sending to sit in the city council, it would really put the Republicans into a permanent minority in this city. They might get one seat, they maybe even might get two seats, but that would be it. They would have no chance of ever getting more seats. And if you look back, Republicans had a functioning majority on the city council just a little over a decade ago in the system whereby they can run citywide. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a lot of those Republicans were elected by losing their wards but winning across the city. So it's possible for them to win under this. Yes, they would get maybe one seat at the table. Maybe. I mean, the number, how people would run for office and who would run for office would certainly change. And I think it's possible that we might end up with an even more leftist, progressive city council if we had ward-only elections, because the other wards, the far more democratic wards, would potentially run more progressive people.
Because they
would not have to be balanced across the city. If you were running in ward, in the west side, you would not have to care who voted for you on the east side. They wouldn't be voting for you.
They
would completely change the dynamic of how things work.
I disagree with that, because that's taken care of in the ward primary. That is, it's obviously the ward voters who choose the candidates in the primary. And, we've seen plenty of Democratic candidates of all stripes, some quite leftist, some not, with this system that we have now. Now, the point is, I would say, it's going to be a long shot because not only have the courts rejected the challenges, there have been a couple different courts. State Supreme Court rejected an effort by the state legislature to change the system a few years ago. But voters ourselves have rejected similar changes several times down through the years. The voters, you know, seem to like the system. Now,
They're mostly Democrats.
All right. So. I would argue that's in part because they're mostly Democrats and it benefits Democrats. I also think that in this polarized time we're in, it is harder for Republicans to win on a citywide basis. There's a lot, especially now with Trump as president, it's going to be extremely hard for a Republican ever to win in Tucson under this system, in my opinion.
Didn't the voters in the city of Tucson, wasn't there something on the ballot just this past November about this?
No, not this past November.
Oh.
No, we've had a couple of different charter changes, one giving the mayor more giving him equal voting power.
The thing that got shot down by voters this time was changing the election cycle for Tucson. We're set up for yet another conflict with the state legislature who passed a law saying that essentially trying to force Tucson to move our elections from odd years to even years. And voters had the opportunity to say okay for that. The council put that on the ballot to change our charter, and voters rather handily said, nope, we like things the way they are, as they have, as Tim was saying, very often done when it comes to changing the charter.
So this was not about ward-only elections?
No. A couple of years ago, there was a commission that you just wrote about this, Tim, looking back at it, about how we might possibly change our system to go ward only or ward only plus a couple of at-large wards elected similarly to how we do things now, making the council larger. And those really didn't get past the council. They took a look at some of those recommendations and said, we're not going to send them to the voters right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a break right here. When we come back with Tim Steller and Dylan Smith, we'll talk about some of the names being floated around for Tucson mayor. Tim was writing about this today in his column. I think he came up with six names. We'll talk about the names when we come back. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. It's our Friday roundtable. We had Senator Karen Fan, the new Senate president, talking about the big issues that will be facing the legislature. Tim Steller is here bouncing around plastic guitar. Doing kind of a la The Who there.
Yeah, I strummed it for a minute, but then cool. I had to smash it.
Tim Steller, columnist, Arizona Daily Star. Dylan Smith, the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan and Tim, I do want to make a mention. The observance of the January 8th tragedy is set for this Tuesday morning at the downtown headquarters of the Tucson Fire Department, 300 South Fire Central Place, that's south of the Tucson Convention Center. The mayor will be ringing the bell at the station at 10:10 a.m., the moment of the shooting, and he'll ring the bell once for each person killed or injured. So hard to believe, isn't it, Dylan? 8 years.
8 years? Oh, yeah, it's 2019. Yeah. That was 2011.
2011, and it's firmly ingrained in my memory because 2 days before, the Thursday before the Saturday shooting, Congresswoman Giffords gave what we believe is the last broadcast interview that she did before the shooting on our show. And we had just launched the show. It was our launch week on the radio show at a different radio station, but it was 8 years ago. So that how time flies. I mean,
in a way, it still seems it's, yeah, very,
I mean,
fresh.
It's
kind
of
like
those
yesterday, and in other ways, it seems like
ancient
so
history.
Very
so much
long
has happened.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and you remember exactly where you were.
So
I was in a barber shop when I got the word.
Yep, I was at a soccer kids soccer game. Yeah. The Tucson Citizen had closed, I think, within a year before that.
The last time the press ran was 2009. Maybe
oh, really? 2009. Okay. The reason I was saying that is because we at the Star were temporarily in the Citizen newsroom while, I don't know, remodeling or asbestos removal or something was going on in our side. And I don't know, it just always struck me as a cozy place for us to kind of really hammer out this hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
That's interesting. Bring up the Citizen. Of course, Mark Kimball, one of the victims. Mark was your editor over at the Tucson Citizen.
Yep.
And he had joined Gabby's team.
Yeah.
And was there that fateful morning, and he's one of the survivors, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
So, we mentioned the mayor, Mayor Rothschild, is going to be involved with the ceremony. Let's talk a little bit about the mayor. He will not be seeking a third four-year term, and all sorts of names are popping up. During the break, we were talking a former Tucson City councilman and congressional candidate just this last time around. Bruce Wheeler
has not announced or even said he's interested, but we were kind of kicking around names.
So you're trying to draft Wheeler into rugby scrum?
Right.
Yeah, let's
bring Bruce in.
Bring him into the cage.
Yeah, bring it in. Because you are, Tim, you've got about six names.
Yeah, I tried to bring one other into a Republican, Fred Ronstadt. Yeah. He told me he isn't interested, but he left just enough room open that what the heck, we can throw him in. Yeah.
You know, we were talking about before the break Tucson's election system.
Yes,
and you know we have an open mayor's seat that we know of. We have an open seat over on the southeast side. Basically, where Republicans have a small majority, although there are tons of people. Independents in the middle who are really the factor there, but Shirley Scott is not running again, so that's two open seats that we know of. If Raheena Romero runs for mayor, we will have an open seat on the council on the west side. If Paul Durham jumps in as well, we would have another open seat, and yet we don't have a single Republican anywhere who's publicly talking about running for any of these seats, except for Mike Hicks who wants to run for that
Shirley Scott seat. Mike's been talking about it for a while.
But other than that, you know, if you want to have a chance at running, you need to have candidates. I mean, that's kind of the first thing, you know, even before you start talking about the permutations of the system. And yet, you know, not only is no one clamoring to run for these things, it seems like nobody's even whispering about it.
Yeah, I talked to the chair of the Pima County GOP yesterday. He didn't have anybody who had said they're considering it, although he said he's talking to one or two people about
Dave Eppenheimer.
Dave Eppenheimer, yeah.
You were talking to him.
Talking to him yesterday.
He just got reelected as the county
chair. So, I mean, there is that interesting tension on the Republican side. Obviously, it's a smaller party in Tucson. But also there's that tension between the membership, the activist membership, being a pretty strong conservative, pretty far right group. But if you run somebody that's just like them in especially a citywide election in Tucson, they're just going to get smashed. They're never going to win. So they have to be able to tolerate a more moderate style Republican or Fred Ronstadt. Maybe.
And they just told one to get out of here in the last election
cycle.
Gary Watson wanted to run as a Republican. And they just said that they would not support him, so he had to run as an independent.
That's right. That was in Ward 3, correct?
Yes.
Right. And so that's
and that's somebody who was a credible candidate.
Right. So, you know, obviously there is a breaking point with any party when someone's just too different from you to be endorsed, but they got to be flexible if they want to win in Tucson.
How about Steve Farley?
Yeah, I mean, I would say my opinion is he's a pretty strong candidate
Talking
for mayor
about the
of
Democrats.
Tucson. Yeah, now we're back to Democrats. Steve Farley, former state representative and senator.
Gubernatorial
candidate, came in second in the primary. He's a pretty strong candidate, very well known, and now has a donor network statewide, maybe nationwide from his run. I put him up there with Raheena Romero, who is very likely to run. She's connected with the Grijalva network, as it were, and we'll get a lot of support there. They're solid candidates at this stage. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think she was really ready for prime time when she joined the council, but she's improved immensely, and I think is a legitimate candidate.
And she would have to give up her seat, right?
She's in the end of her term.
She's at the end of her term, but you can't run for both.
No,
so she would have to, you know, pick either run for re-election or take a stab at running for the council and enter that primary.
And then who, as you pointed out in your column, are the tier two candidates?
Well, Dylan mentioned Paul Durham, and who's the other one I'm not thinking of?
Randy Dorman, the developer.
Randy Dorman,
rather publicly pondering throwing her hat in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you mention one of the Ackerleys?
Yes, Ed Ackerley. Mm-hmm. But we're not sure where he would land party-wise. Could be a Democrat, could be a Republican, could be an independent. Probably in the mold of some of the various moderate business types that we've had run for office in recent years here.
And an independent candidates trying to get signatures?
Joe Arocha, who we will see if he manages to get himself on the ballot. One thing I really want to say here while we're on the topic real quick is just it's so important to have a healthy civic conversation about these issues. And when we have candidates where they don't have any opposition, they may be doing a fantastic job or maybe doing a terrible job, but it makes it that much harder for us in the press to really contrast and hold them accountable if they don't have someone running against them. Mm-hmm. And we've seen so often over the last couple of decades where we have essentially nobody running against people. That happened with Bob Walkup. That happened with Jonathan Rothschild. And that's just not a good way to run a city. Mm-hmm. We need to have, basically that way of, citizens being able to hold people to account.
Yeah, that's why it's good that there are at least two pretty strong Democratic candidates, because let's face it, the Democrats likely to win. We don't want a coronation. It shouldn't be a coronation. It should be a debate.
But even then, in the general, there should be somebody
side
who is a credible candidate who has the ability to put forth reasonable suggestions but a different take on things so that voters can at least compare and contrast.
All right.
So who would do better, an independent or a Republican? What do you think? Same real quality candidate.
That's real hard. I don't know. I mean, Republicans with a Republican Party support would, more chance.
Yeah. All right. Dylan Smith, thanks for all you do at TucsonSentinel.com.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. And Tim Steller, I know you need to go have lunch and figure out what's going to be in the column.
Oh, no. I figured out what's...
Right.
I just don't have the details nailed down. I got the topic.
Yeah, we won't even get into the topic. Yeah. We'll let people read it Sunday. Would you want to give the topic?
Sure. Okay. I'm reflecting on the press conference yesterday in which two leaders of the National Border Patrol Council, the agents union, endorsed the shutdown that President Trump is.
One of whom
is from here. Art Delpueto is Tucson.
All right. Yep. Well, look for it. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Happy New Year to both of you. Appreciate
it.
Thank
you. Hey, thanks,
Bill. Appreciate what you do for us. All right, coming up next, Weekend Watch. Matt Russell standing by. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Alrighty then, it's Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist. Matt Russell and Weekend Watch presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico makes a outstanding road trip. Let's welcome now Matt Russell. Happy New Year, Matt.
Happy New Year to you too, Bill. And did I hear you're starting your ninth year?
Do you believe it? And I'll tell you, somebody that's been with us since day one is Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, we so much appreciate all that you have done for us on this program. Thank you, sir.
It's been my honor indeed, sir.
It's another show. It's another opening.
Another new year, another new opening. This one has caused quite a roar. It's called The Blind Tiger.
What?
And it brings an interesting blend of bar food and gourmet cuisine to 4th Avenue. Some of the things that are making news, the carne asada fries, the chicken pesto pizza. On the upscale side, the smoked and stuffed pork chop with green chilies and Oaxaca cheese making headlines. But there's also plans for a secret bar near the patio, because in Prohibition days, a stuffed blind tiger would hang in those establishments that signaled that they had a secret bar.
Wow.
I think the blind tiger sounds like a fun way to kick off the weekend.
It does indeed. Oh, so much Tucson food tours just doing so well here in town. People want to sample so much of our variety of foods. What's going on there?
Yeah, the Tucson Food Tours are kicking off another one of their tours tomorrow, and this one will give you some kind of behind-the-scenes knowledge and history of some of the best craft breweries and distilleries in Tucson. It's a brewstillery tour. You'll sample lots of flights of local beers and spirits while learning some fun stories behind them from the very folks who make them. Now, these tours were designated as one of the top things to do in the book 100 Things to Do Before You Die in Tucson, so don't miss out tomorrow at 1 o'clock. All the information and tickets are at TucsonFoodTours.com.
Hey, we're still celebrating the new year, aren't we?
Yes, indeed. There's a traditional event in the Netherlands, Bill, to celebrate the new year, and it's called, I've been practicing this for hours, New Year's Receptie. And Tucson's version is tomorrow from 2 to 5 at the Dutch Eatery in Main Gate Square. Lots of traditional Dutch bites will be featured, like the oliebollen, and drinks like the kapstoschen, as well as their standard menu. Local singer-songwriter Austin Hoffman will be there to add some fun music to the celebration. Do the Dutch thing and wear orange tomorrow for New Year's Reception at the Dutch.
That's always fun, the Dutch. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business to kick off our new year?
Yeah, it's a fun look back. It is the big reveal of my top 10 columns of 2018 as measured by my readers' response. It's always fun to see what columns really stuck with my readers. And if you want to know what made the cut, you can check it out now in the current edition of Inside Tucson Business.
I've carved out just a couple of extra seconds here with Matt Russell to ask him about what was the big foodie story of 2018, and looking ahead to 2019, what's on your horizon?
I think the foodie story of the year was how local chefs are getting together to collaborate. You know, it's no longer, Bill, about competition. Yes, these chefs own and operate their own restaurants, but how can the local food community come together and to collaborate on certain projects and events to really raise the waters high so everybody wins, both the chefs and the restaurants and the community at large? I think collaboration is the key to success, and we're going to see that continue through 2019.
Thank you for your collaboration with us on Buckmaster as we begin today, year number 9. Thank you, Matt, for everything you do.
Congratulations.
All right. Thank you, sir. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is an exclusive presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by Christophon. Thank you to our fine young German composer. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, who's been with me since the beginning. Rose does great job handling all of kind of the back office business of Buckmaster. Of course, Bob Dio, engineer, producer, the entire team at Bustos Media, including Jerry Cross, our operations guy Ray Allen, Alicia and Elsa in the front office. Everybody associated with the program, thank you very much. Steve Rivera is next. I love his show. Eye on the Ball, next on KVOI. Have a great weekend.